Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the May 28th, 2019 meeting of the University City City Council to order. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson. Mayor Crow.
Here. You have before you the agenda, a motion that the agenda be approved. Motion by Ms. Carr. Seconded by Mr. Clay.
Honorable Mayor and Council members,
yes.
If I could make one minor adjustment to the agenda. Up under the consent agenda, item number 2, police vehicles purchase, that should be 4 and not 5.
Thank you.
All of the changes.
Thank you very much for correcting the typographical error. Any other comments or concerns? Hearing none, those in favor of approving the agenda, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations before us. We have the May 9th, 2019 study session minutes. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the May 13th, 2019 study session minutes, EDRST. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to nominate Edmund Acosta for his third term and Joan Greco-Cohen for her second term to be renominated and appointed to the Library Board.
Mr. Cusick has brought forward two reappointments. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. McMahon.
I would like to nominate Sandra Hewitt to the Senior Commission as a fill-in replacement for Margie DeKemper, and to also thank Margie DeKemper for her service on the Senior Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no swearing in tonight. We'll now move to citizen participation. For those of you who this may be your first time here, if you would like to speak to the council, there are sign-up sheets over by the door that we would ask you to sign, and please put in the baskets up near the city clerk. For non-agenda items, we have the first 15 minutes that it will be starting right now, and then we have another section at the end. When you approach the mic, please give your name and address, and each speaker is limited to 5 minutes, and then we have a number of speakers who are speaking then on agenda items as well. It looks like we have a number of speakers at the very beginning who want to speak about the senior program, and so I'll welcome them up in just a second. I thought it may be appropriate to ask the city manager for an update prior to our speakers coming forward.
Honorable Mayor and council members, I know that there are so many young people in the room today.
Can you guys hear this? Are we?
Can you hear me? I noticed that there were so many young people in the room today that we wanted to give you an update on where we are with trying to craft a program to meet the needs of our seniors. And so our Parks and Recreation and Forestry Director, Darren Dunkel, is working with his staff. He will also be working with Aging Ahead, as well as reaching out to the seniors to determine what type of program best fits with our community. That process has just started. I know that Darren has been in contact with Aging Ahead multiple times, but he should be sitting down with you very soon in order to get your thoughts on what an effective senior-type program would look like. That concludes my comments.
Thank you very much. Our first request to speak is from Gloria Nickerson.
Good evening, Mayor, to the Mayor, City Council, City Manager, City Attorney. I'm sorry, I didn't do it right, Mayor Crow. Gloria Nickerson, 7576 Blackberry. I'm here as the Vice Chair of the Senior Commission and also as a resident of University City. I have three different things to talk about. The main thing is the senior program, but Prior to coming here, I received a text message from Long Acre Farms. We lost Jim, the owner, and they wanted me to share the information. They were the farmer's market that was in the loop that moved over to the church on Clemens, and his services will be Thursday. The reason that I thought I should speak about the senior program, could you all stand that are affiliated with the UCity Senior Program? These are longtime residents of UCity. They're taxpayers and they're voters. And I have worked with them a long time as a volunteer to be their voice when they couldn't be their voice, whether it was locally or in Jefferson City. And I do appreciate the conversation with the city manager, Mr. Dunkel, and Mr. Smotherson, and Mr. Clay. Some of the main sentiments that this, am I talking too loud?
Do you want to sit down?
Oh, you can sit. I'm sorry. I just wanted you all to see these 12 young adults. Some of the
new exercise program.
Okay. There were some real sticklers with this and why there is so much outrage. One of the things was the way that it was handled. And by all of us seniors living here in UCity, we know that that is not the behavior of University City. When you come and tell us this, and that's it, and you make it seem that it's the city of University City's fault, that the city did not want us here. And we know that that's not true. But we needed to come today to be on record and to make sure that any negotiations that move forward include some of the following. As of now, the program was 9 to 1. But the seniors could get there at 10 minutes to 9, quarter to 9. They could be dropped off. They were not allowed to go in till 9 o'clock, which made some of their caregivers late for their jobs. The second thing is, we know that the city's working on this. We have a program where we give out food distributions once a week. And right now, we still get those items, but we have to take them down to the city of St. Louis and try to get these UCity seniors down there to get it. If it's possible that we could be on the parking lot at the community center just to distribute the food. That's one thing. The second thing is that this is a time of year where they would have their hot dogs and watermelons, a little picnic in the park, Heeman Park, right up by the tennis courts. Without the program, we don't know where we're going to, if we'll be able to do that or not. The third thing is that they pulled their monies together and they bought a big screen TV. And that does not belong to Aging Ahead. So we'd like to find out where that big screen TV is. Okay, I'll just move on. Also, the seniors did what they called a bargain table, and they also did little auctions to keep their program running, because Aging Ahead presents it one way, but the seniors actually created their own program. They actually ran it, and it's their monies that's buying this and buying that. Well, they're not allowed to do that. And it's just items that are donated, and they just come in, and if you could use it or you want it, you just pay a couple dollars for it. And there's nothing wrong with that. They do have a committee, and they do have a treasurer. Let's see. I just want to touch on the things that they wanted me to say to you.
Ms. Nickerson, your 5 minutes is up. How much longer do you have to go?
I just have about one more minute.
Okay.
And the other thing is they want the program to still go Monday through Thursdays, and they're okay with 9 to 1, and they don't want to be a part of anything that Aging Ahead does because of the disrespect from the Aging Ahead employees. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is from Beverly Ann Johnson. And Ms. Johnson, if you'd give your name and address when you speak. Thank you.
Beverly Johnson, 6809 Olive. Good evening, everyone. I'm part of the senior citizen group. Mr. Smotherson, I have seven names of people that couldn't attend, but they wrote a note. They gave me permission to write a note and give you their name and phone number for you to call them. Okay. But thanks for everything. Thanks for all the help.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is from Joan Reynoso. Ma'am, everything's kind of being, no one can hear you, and there's also, sorry to that.
My name is Joan Reynoso. I'm not a U-City resident. I live in Vineta Park. But my husband, we do join Silver Sneakers, and this is how we got associated with the senior group, because we would go into your activities like walking the track, and then that's how we got started with the senior group. We used to see them over on the Olive Street Road. Very nice to my husband loved it. He has passed away since then. Actually, I would drop him off so I would have a few minutes to myself. But he's passed away, and since then I joined the group. And since the aging ahead moved out to the Y, it is very difficult for me to get there, and I'm sure a lot of our others in the group. And this group of 50 to 60 people have become such close friends, and I know they're not going out to the Y out there, at least most of the group. And it's really hurting a lot of people. I can find things to do, but I know there's a lot of the people that I associated with that we have gotten so close, and it's so easy. You know, we just don't know where to meet, and we're hoping that you will consider keeping us at the center on Pennsylvania. We can, like Gloria said, we pretty well have our own program. And we love just being together, and it just, you know, just to meet with everybody, it's just wonderful. I mean, I'd invite any of you seniors to come too. You would like it. I'm not kidding you. We have a good time. So I won't keep you any longer, but I just want you to know if whatever you can do, we'd love to stay over on the center. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're glad to have you this evening. That concludes this portion of the citizen participation section of the agenda. We'll now move forward to public hearing. We have a public hearing. The opening time for the public hearing will be 6:43 on Zoning Text Amendment Medical Marijuana Bill 9385. Has anyone signed up to speak?
No, not at this time.
No one has signed up to speak. We will now close the hearing at 6:43. We'll now move forward with Section J, the consent agenda, with the typographical error from 5 to 4. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion by Ms. Carr. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We do not have a city manager's report. So we'll now move forward with unfinished business. And I know we have a number of requests to speak on a number of the different bills. What I would say to everyone who the bills that are primarily related to the Olive and 170 development is for everyone to please know that tonight is not a vote on the development itself. tonight is actually going to be simply reading in the amendments and moving forward as the first reading of the text as amended. The vote will occur in approximately two weeks on the June 10th meeting here in City Hall, just so everyone knows. And the, many people who signed up to speak tonight signed up basically to speak on the bills themselves. What I thought I would do is, as my colleagues introduce the first one, once it is introduced, then we will allow folks to speak. If, in fact, that's not the bill you want to speak to, you're happy. If you want to tell me that you want to speak on a different bill, that is fine. But I'm going to assume that most of you want to speak on the project in general, and we would like to give you the opportunity to speak up front. But if, in fact, you tell me it's a specific bill you'd like to speak to later, then we will call on you at that time. So we will now move to unfinished business bill number 9370. What is the pleasure of the council? Ms. Carr.
I move that amended bill number 9370 in the city council packet for this meeting be filed with the city clerk as a substitute for the pending bill number 9370, and that bill number 9370 be amended accordingly.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion. Let's see, this is probably where do I need to call the speakers now before, or do you want me to probably call the speakers now? We'll take the vote as soon as we have the speakers come up to speak. So everyone remind me. Yes, ma'am.
I don't think there's a vote. I think there's a reading.
No, there's a vote on the
There's
a vote on the motion that you just made.
Okay.
And so when you're making the motion to amend, we've got to give everyone a chance to it. I think that most of our speakers are going to speak on the development in total, but because this is the first time around, I'd like to give everyone the opportunity to speak. The first request to speak on Bill 9370 is Ms. Jan Adams. 9370.
Jan Adams, 7150 Cambridge Avenue. I rise to address the revised development agreement being introduced tonight and to distinguish fact from fiction. There are so many legal weasel words and loopholes in this agreement that I cannot cover them all in the 5 minutes that I have. So I will focus on the three more significant issues. If this council votes to execute this agreement without any further amendments, then the mayor and each council member will have betrayed the trust that she or he has asked of our citizens. The three betrayals relate to, one, the use of eminent domain, two, the actual developments that have been dangled to persuade our citizens to support this takeover, and three, the projected revenue stream for the city. I am attaching to these written comments the excerpts from the development agreement that I have referenced and have highlighted the quoted language. First, on the issue of eminent domain, although the proposed agreement highlights the phrase, quote, no eminent domain of owner-occupied single-family structures will be permitted, end quote, there follows this phrase, quote, except as determined by the City Council in its sole and absolute discretion, end quote. That phrase is not highlighted. And then at Section 2, the agreement reads, the city shall, within 30 days after the developer's request, authorize the initiation of condemnation proceedings. And the developer, this is a quote, the developer as the city's agent shall control all condemnation proceedings, end quote. By signing off on this agreement, our elected representatives are abdicating their fiduciary duty to us and authorizing the developer for Acosco to make life-changing decisions for our neighbors. The mayor and other city council members initially stated that eminent domain will not be used for owner-occupied residences, period. However, at the first public meeting, I asked the developer what he would do if a homeowner in the footprint of Costco refused to sell. Would he walk away, or would he ask the city to condemn the property? The personal lawyer for our council members, Jerry Griman, who mysteriously became the chair of the TIF commission, tried to shut me down at the meeting. claiming I was just engaging in political theater. But I persisted, and the developer admitted that this development requires the use of eminent domain. I waited to see if the mayor and council would repeat their promises of no eminent domain for owner-occupied residencies, and they did on numerous occasions. So there is no legitimate justification for this council now to sign this agreement. This is a blatant betrayal of trust. Second, the agreement reads, quote, a third party is obligated to commence construction of either, one, a senior living facility, a movie theater, a hotel. But then, astonishingly, that section goes on to read, quote, notwithstanding the foregoing, subject to the approval of the city manager in his sole and absolute discretion, the developer may substitute other commercial construction in lieu of the above hotel, movie theater, senior residence. So let me repeat this term. The city manager has the sole and absolute discretion to allow the developer to avoid providing us with any of those three facilities. This council may vote in 2 weeks to set up a system that is ripe for corruption and backroom dealing between the developer and the city manager. Again, the promises are fiction. The development agreement is a fact. And again, this council plans to abdicate their fiduciary duty to us because it authorizes the city manager to make backroom deals. Third, Mr. Rose stated at his press conference that there will be more than $32 million revenue for the city. I challenge him to publish where that amount is included anywhere in this revised agreement. His statement is demonstrably a fiction. In fact, the proposed agreement states that, quote, the developer has provided certain financial and other information to the city. The project data have changed and will further change. The developer cannot and will not make any representation that the project data previously provided is currently true and accurate.
Ms. Adams, your time has expired.
I have one final wrap-up statement. I urge this council to go back into negotiations and amend at least these three terms and any other errors and omissions that exist, and then introduce an amended agreement at the next council meeting. If you vote on this current agreement, there will be no way to justify your betrayal. I have attached the references, and I submit my written comments for addition to the minutes.
Next request to speak is Mr. Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. The proposed Costco development at Olive and 170, which will require a $70 million taxpayer subsidy, is unquestionably the worst thing the City of University City has ever attempted. The values that have long been part of the city, citizen participation, inclusion, diversity, and concern for all citizens, are being badly trampled on by city officials who seem obsessed with wanting to destroy everything on 50 acres of land. It is unconscionable that you have created hardships for many home and business owners, and you have done irreparable harm to University City. But as you have all made clear, you could care less. Citizens have been deceived, information has been covered up and withheld, and some residents have been harassed by city officials, including Mayor Terry Crow, just for questioning the proposal. It seems decisions were made well before the proposal was made public, decisions that were kept from the public by city officials who have demonstrated they don't know what they are doing, and neither do those that they hired, which is why there was a $27 million mistake in calculating finances. This area is littered with failed developments. They have two things in common. One, developers promising millions of dollars of revenue, and two, city officials foolish enough to believe them. That was certainly true of the proposed Sunset Hills fiasco in which the city's Costco developer, Novus, played a starring role. Perhaps the most damning thing about the proposed Costco development is that no one outside the city has had anything good to say about it. One review said it best: University City Big Box Plan exemplifies all that is wrong. What is so absurd about the Costco development is that you want to tear down a thriving part of the city, a total of 70 homes, 58 apartment units, dozens of diverse businesses, two churches, and one school, when it's the other end of the city that is badly in need of attention. Next month, the old Cicero space in Loop will be vacant for 2 years. Later this year, it will be 2 years since the bread company closed. I recently counted 16 vacant storefronts just in the University City portion of the Loop. Where are all those crowds that Loop Trolley was supposed to bring? Ridership declined 30% last month, but it was supposed to increase as the weather got better. At North and South and Olive, there is still a large vacant lot on one corner due to another city mess-up on a contract. At Olive and Midland, it will soon be 10 years from when the strip center was torn down by the city with nothing to replace it. The list goes on and on. The Costco development is a bad deal for the residents and businesses being kicked out of the city to make way for the development. It is also a bad deal for University City residents who will see a unique part of the city destroyed to make way for a development they don't support, which is why it was never put to a vote. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Next request to speak is Rosalind Williams.
Good evening. Rosalind Williams, 7408 Chamberlain Avenue, University City. I'm an enthusiastic supporter of the Olive 170 TIF and happy to see that the TIF redevelopment plan project and agreements with the developer will finally be voted on and approved, I hope. As a co-founder of WIF, a nonprofit advocate for inclusive mixed-income neighborhoods, we have been involved with the Olive 170 redevelopment project from its inception. This project was formulated specifically to improve the housing market in the Third Ward. There has been excessive disagreement and turmoil throughout the community towards this project due to a lack of clarity in the presentation and explanations, unfortunately, by the city. I blame this, though, on the lack of a clear vision, goal, and strategies that would be included in an action plan for the Third Ward neighborhoods. A Third Ward turnaround will not happen just by spending monies on miscellaneous projects. Unfortunately, this has been the approach in the St. Louis area for decades and has produced inconsequential changes in declining neighborhoods north of Olive and Del Mar. I urge Council to begin immediately to engage Third Ward residents and other stakeholders to create a strategic action plan for the neighborhoods involved in the Third Ward and the use of the TIF funds. If TIF funds are the only source of funds for housing activities available to the city at the level needed to revitalize the Third Ward, and therefore the primary reason for this project. I am happy to see that other provisions in the agreement with the developer will open up employment to University City residents, especially those in the Third Ward. However, I'm disappointed in the agreement with the level of uncertainty regarding the implementation of the First Opportunity Employment Initiative. I hope the city will pursue vigorously this initiative because it is one of the most direct and significant benefits that comes out of this TIF. Once the redevelopment plan and agreement are approved, Novus will begin to acquire properties and begin relocation. The city should immediately begin to make available housing alternatives available for displaced residents. The city should appoint someone familiar with the Third Ward housing market to work in conjunction with the relocation specialists to advocate for and facilitate the use of the city's housing relocation incentives. I want to touch on another subject related. I was involved in the negotiations with Novus until the city began discussion of the funding alternatives. I don't think that the TIF plan and the agreement with Novus is understood by the community at all or the press. I want to make this statement that the agreement with Novus is not reducing the amount of money available for the third ward. This TIF will have three separate projects funded with the increment from the RPA 1 or the Olive Boulevard project. The development agreement only is needed for Novus to use the $70.5 million of TIF funds. Novus is not involved in the use of the $15 million. However, the city complicated this agreement by insisting on an additional deal with the developer involving the financing of the $15 million in the event that the project falls short of the increment required. This arrangement does not reduce the amount nor preclude getting the full $15 million for a successful TIF project. From my experience with a similar project in Kirkwood, this arrangement is unnecessary, but is included as a precautionary supplement for the city. I hope this explanation clarifies what wasn't communicated very well at the recent press conference.
Your time has expired.
2 seconds. Judging by the opposition, opposite reporting in the newspapers and the discussion on social media. Thank you for your time.
Our next request to speak is Patricia McQueen.
I'm trying to be respectful of time, so I brought my own timers.
Works for me.
I'm Patricia McQueen at 1132 George Street, 3rd Ward, University City. Good evening, Mayor Crowe, City Council, public officials, City Manager Rose, media sources, and fellow residents in this council chamber. First, I am an enthusiastic supporter of the Olive 170 TIF redevelopment plan and agreement. For me, the redevelopment plan is not about just bringing a Costco store closer to me for shopping. It's about a redevelopment project that will bring jobs and seed money to stabilize the housing stock in the Third Ward that has long been neglected. On April 18, 2019, a St. Louis NPR story was posted entitled, Business Owners in Unofficial Chinatown Remain in Limbo as UCD Ponders New Development. The reporter used the same terminology, unofficial Chinatown, that another NPR reporter used a year ago on April 23, 2018, and used the same wrongly scaled map of the redevelopment project entitled the Olive Link that shows a larger RP1 site. In the year 2012, a St. Louis Post-Dispatch news story entitled A Taste of Asia on Olive also used the same incorrect terminology in its first paragraph. Even though some media reporters and opponents to the redevelopment project have called the two retail strips at Olive and McKnight Chinatown, the correct site is further east on Olive around 81st Street. Two large Asian supermarkets, as Olive Supermarket and Seafood City Supermarket, face each other on Olive and draw customers from around the region. Seafood City Supermarket lies on a site that could be a future American Asian mall, according to the Caldwell Banker sign. The middle portion of the site is vacant and used to be a Target store back in the 1970s and 80s. On the southern side of Olive Street and west of 81st Street is a retail strip mall that is entitled Chinatown Square. The retail strip is home for various Chinese restaurants and small businesses. The restaurant Wong Tong King and Kate Zone Chinese Cafe draw customers from around the region and are extremely popular with Washington University students and are always full. The two Asian supermarkets and the Chinatown Square retail strip are where the true unofficial Chinatown reside. The area around Olive and 81st Street will not be directly affected by the Olive I-170 redevelopment agreement. The retail strips around Olive and McKnight Boulevard that the media incorrectly labeled unofficial Chinatown are not composed of predominantly Chinese businesses. One is Taiwanese, two are Vietnamese, one is Japanese, one is Jamaican, and one is a Korean food market. One should be careful when using the terminology Chinatown. American Chinatowns have been viewed in two ways. An online quote says, American Chinatowns are viewed by some as ethnic ghettos and places of exploitation by an internal Chinese-American business elite and by society as a whole. Others see Chinatown as a source of economic opportunity and an aid in adjusting to a new environment for newly arrived Chinese. Chinatowns have been defined as an area of a city where many Chinese people live and where there's a lot of Chinese restaurants and shops. University City clearly supports the second half of the definition pertaining to the restaurants and shops, but there is no census tract data proof that many Chinese people live in the area surrounding those restaurants and shops. I see the Chinese businesses in the unofficial Chinatown area around Olive and 81st Street as a source of economic opportunity for the municipality and the region. I also see the Olive I-170 redevelopment project as enhancing indirectly the economic opportunity for that area. In closing, I wish the media reporters and the opposition would get their facts straight about the international businesses on Olive. Chinatown is not where they say it is, economically speaking. NPR should also stop using the wrongly scaled Olive Link map as the one representing the Olive I-170 redevelopment project. I wish the new University City Economic Development Director will start to engage and speak with the international businesses along Olive. Maybe an economic development plan like the draft Chicago 2014 Chinatown Vision Plan could be developed for the American Asian Mall and encourage and enhance the Chinese business hub in University City that could truly be an economic engine for the region. Respectfully submitted, Patricia McQueen. And I'm going to give you my statement. I'm going to give you the photos I took. And to let you know, if you go to Barnes & Noble or just on Amazon and order this book, it has the businesses that are on Olive in it. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is David Harris.
Good evening. My name is David Harris. My address is 8039 Gannon. I'm here to speak about the proposed Olive 170 redevelopment project and the revised redevelopment agreement. Overall, concerns about economics, employment, engagement, and equity are still not adequately addressed or explained by the revised agreement. The revised agreement appears to benefit the developer, Novus, and the primary occupant, Costco, more than us, the citizens of University City. There are two new clauses that try to benefit us, but those clauses need improvement. I will not be able to cover all these topics and the many specific concerns about the agreement in the 5 minutes that I have. What I cannot cover now, I will send by email to you in the next few days, and I will make public when possible. Later in my comments, I will explain some reasons I think citizens should have more time than just 5 minutes of public comment to try to discuss the agreement with you, and I hope you agree. The revised agreement was made available to the public on the city website on May 17th. However, the fourth revision of the redevelopment plan, dated April 18th, and the updated cost-benefit analysis for each area, dated May 9th, are not on the city website and were not made public until the agenda packet for tonight's meeting was released, and they were released without any details about changes from previous analyses. Why were the revised plan and revised cost-benefit analyses not timely made available for review? Maybe city administration did not care about providing them because of one of the troubling additions of the agreement. I call your attention to new paragraph 8.1F, which states, quote, "The city cannot and will not make any representations. Such analyses were or are true or accurate." How can you agree with this clause, saying that you and we cannot rely on any numbers that are given? Well, I have to rely on something, so I'm still going to use them. In February, I explained how the promise of $10 million for Ward 3, the promise of $5 million for the Olive Business Corridor, and the need for $9 million for public safety would use up all of the available city tax revenue from the project over 23 years, which may be about $25.7 million. My explanation has not been refuted. The agreement does not address this lack of additional revenue and now highlights several more issues. I only have time for two of those issues. First, the agreement commits the city to issuing TIF notes to reimburse the $3 million advance payment and then using city revenue to pay the notes or pay the bonds that will likely replace the notes. Can you obligate the city revenue to pay notes or to pay bonds without a vote of the people? Funders will be requesting legal opinions from the city attorney and bond counsel. That payment is duly and properly authorized and approved. You should receive the same sort of opinions now, and the opinions should be made public. Second, the TIF Commission approved a tax subsidy of $70.5 million. The TIF note commitment for the advance payment increases the subsidy by $3 million to $73.5 million. And sections 2.2 and 2.3 of the agreement may increase the subsidy more. Therefore, it appears the TIF Commission needs to be re-involved. Amended bills 9370 through 9373 that are on tonight's agenda state, quote, "The amendments to the redevelopment plan did not affect the maximum TIF assistance under the redevelopment plan and accordingly may be approved under the TIF Act without further involvement of the TIF Commission. However, the agenda item cover for each bill and for Bill 9379 ignores the increase and the bills are no longer accurate." In paragraph 5.1D, the city is still holding back $15 million from Novus unless three key conditions are met. The holdback makes sense. However, now added is that the city manager has sole discretion to approve changes to those conditions. No single unelected official should have that authority, and I do not understand why you would allow it. Costco has negotiated additions to the agreement. Everywhere the phrase, quote, "end user of the North Phase anchor site," end quote, appears is likely a Costco clause. There are eight such clauses and several more that are probably related to them. The most troubling addition is paragraph 3.9B3.
How much time do you need? How much time? Your time is
up. One more paragraph after this. Thank you. The most troubling addition is paragraph 3.9B3, where Costco is exempted from the minority contractor and workforce requirement. The requirement is already a bare minimum. Why would you allow Costco to be exempt, further weakening the benefit? I'm disturbed, and I think you should be disturbed, that Costco is being allowed to work on this agreement behind the scenes before Costco is publicly identifying itself. Moreover, very few of the many specific questions, recommendations, and concerns that have come from citizens, including me, who are identifying ourselves, have not been answered or addressed publicly by council members or city administrators, despite numerous written and spoken requests. That failure to respond is not transparency, and it is not engagement. It's what I was saying. We need more time than just chunks of 5 minutes to speak to discuss with you the details of this agreement. Costco and Novus have that time. So should we. I would appreciate my comments being included with the minutes of this meeting. Thank you for your time.
Next request to speak is Kathy Stratman.
Thank you. Kathy Strotman, 6855 Plymouth Avenue, University City, 3rd Ward. I know I should have spoken early on this, but I'm a newer member of the Senior Commission, and I'd like to encourage the city to work on having a really nice senior program. Now, this is regarding, I support the Olive I-70 project fully, I have from the beginning. I would like to ask that our council work to have a plan engaged for the anticipated monies it will bring in. Further, I'd also like to add that due diligence be made to oversee these monies and not have them in the sole proprietorship of the city manager. And I would like that these monies be used for the Third Ward as promised. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Yvette Liebsman.
Hi, thank you, Mayor and Council members. I am Yvette Joy Liebsman. I live at 7570 Cornell Avenue here in University City. I'm here today to talk about my support for the proposed development at the I-170 Olive Interchange. When I look at the plan, I see beyond the money that's being dedicated to the Third Ward and for the improvements on Olive Boulevard and the other benefits that are being touted, I see jobs. I see living wage jobs with benefits. I see parents making enough from one full-time job so they can have dinner with their children and see them off to school in the morning. I have neighbors for whom this is not true. I remember when this was not true for me. The starting wage at Costco is $14 an hour plus health insurance and educational assistance and other benefits. Costco employs at each store between 200 and 300 full-time workers plus part-time and seasonal workers. Costco alone would employ more people than all of the current businesses there and at living wages and with benefits. There's on the plan a supermarket. The average supermarket employs 75 to 150 people. And if it's a Dierbergs, that means those are union jobs with benefits. The average hotel employs 8 to 10 people for every 10 rooms. A 100-room hotel would thus employ 80 to 100 people. And there are other stores and the food court. A conservative estimate would be 500 new jobs for our residents and those in nearby communities. And then we have self-storage and buyer lumber, which is for sale. We have check cashing. We have a tattoo parlor. How many of those do our residents are currently employing our residents, and at what wages and with what benefits? I have to wonder about the people who are speaking against this project, about why they hate their neighbors so much. Do you really, or is it that you hate the council members so much that you don't care how much it would benefit your neighbors? You just want it to fail because who's on this dais? Don't you want your neighbors to have nearby living wage jobs and benefits? Don't you want this to be a place that attracts the people who want to live and work in our community? Don't you want our high school and college students to be able to walk or bike to their part-time jobs at the interchange for these businesses? And, you know, I understand that contract languages can be confusing for some people, but whether it's in that agreement or not, cities generally have, at their sole discretion, the power to exercise eminent domain within the limits set forth by the state and the United States Constitution. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Aaron Ginsburg.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Aaron Ginsburg. I live at 430 West Point Court, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to everyone who spoke about the proposed redevelopment at Olive and 170. After more than a year of hearings and meetings and public discussions, the clear majority of U-City residents want an economic engine like Costco to provide jobs and revenue for our community. We want an infusion of funding to stabilize Ward 3, and we want to upgrade infrastructure along Olive's International Business District. I am here to state my strong support for this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes all of the requests to speak on the Olive and 170 agreement. We are at bill number 9370, where we have had an amendment offered, and we have had discussion. Any further discussion by council? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Reese, would you please give a first reading to bill number 9370 as amended?
An ordinance designating a portion of the city of University City, Missouri as a redevelopment area, approving the Olive Boulevard Commercial Corridor and Residential Conservation Redevelopment Plan and making findings related thereto.
Thank you very much. We will now move to bill number 9371. What is the pleasure of council? Mr. Smotherson.
Mayor Crow, I move that the amended bill number 9371 in the city council packet for this meeting be filed with the city clerk as substitute for pending bill number 9371, and that bill number 9371 be amended accordingly.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Reese, would you please give first reading to bill number 9371 as amended?
An ordinance approving a redevelopment project for redevelopment project area 1 of the Olive Boulevard Commercial Corridor and Residential Conservation Development Area, adopting tax increment financing with respect thereto and authorizing certain actions by city officials.
Thank you very much. We will now move to bill number 9372. What is the pleasure of council? Ms. Carr. You're not on.
I move that amended bill number 9372 in the city council packet for this meeting be filed with the city clerk as a substitute for pending bill number 9372. And that bill number 9372 be amended accordingly.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Reese, would you please give a first reading of the bill number 9372 as amended?
An ordinance approving a redevelopment project for Development Project Area 2 of the Olive Boulevard Commercial Corridor and Residential Conservation Redevelopment Area, adopting tax increment financing with respect thereto and authorizing certain actions by city officials.
Thank you very much. We now move to bill number 9373. What is the pleasure of council? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I move that amended bill number 9373 in the city council packet for this meeting be filed with the city clerk as a substitute for pending bill number 9373, and that bill 9373 be amended accordingly.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Reese, would you please give first reading to bill number 9373 as amended?
An ordinance approving a redevelopment project for redevelopment project area 3 of the Olive Boulevard Commercial Corridor and Residential Conservation Redevelopment Area, adopting tax increment financing with respect thereto and authorizing certain actions by city officials.
Thank you very much. We'll now move to bill number 9379. What is the pleasure of council? Mr. Hales.
I move that amended bill number 9379 in the city council packet for this meeting be filed with the city clerk as a substitute for pending bill number 9379, and that bill number 9379 be amended accordingly.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Reese, would you please give a first reading to bill number 9379 as amended?
An ordinance approving a redevelopment agreement and district project agreement in connection with the Olive Boulevard Commercial Corridor and Residential Conservation Redevelopment Plan.
Thank you very much. We will now move to Bill number 9385, which to my understanding is up for its second reading. Am I correct? Correct? Yes. Thank you very much. Could we please have the second reading of Bill number 9385?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.030, 400.510, 400.570, 400.620, 400.630, and adding Division 15 to Article 5 of Chapter 400 Zoning Code thereof relating to medical marijuana regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 400 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to zoning by amending Sections 400.030, 400.510, 400.570, 400.620, 400.630, and adding Division 15 to Article 5 of Chapter 400 Zoning Code thereof relating to medical marijuana regulations containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. Let's now move to Bill number 9386. May we have the second reading?
An ordinance amending Schedule 3, Table 3-B of the Traffic Code relating to two-hour parking zones.
May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Schedule 3, Table 3-B of the Traffic Code relating to two-hour parking zones.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. We will now, there is no new business for this evening. We will now move to council reports and business. Is there any item that my colleagues would like to bring forward this evening under council reports and business? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to remind everybody, and this is a commission report, and I'm sorry, I thought that's where we were, boards and commission. But anyway, what I wanted to say is that this is a reminder that Starlight Concerts start next Monday, June 3rd. So please come out to the Starlight Concert events in Heman Park. Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. The Senior Commission did meet, I believe it was last Monday. Much of the conversation was a debrief of the Celebration of Older Americans event. Again, I gave a report about that, very well attended, great event for our seniors and the community. But also there was, as you might imagine, much conversation about the aging ahead situation and what needs to be done there. So good to see folks out and advocating for that, understanding that the city is working hard to do what it can to make this situation right, and the city manager and Darren Dunkel have been in conversations to address that. This is a move that was put in motion by Aging Ahead, and again, I want to reiterate, the city was surprised by this change, as surprised as everyone else by this change. But I appreciate the city manager and his team, and certainly Councilman Smotherson working to rectify this.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments from my colleagues regarding council reports and business? Hearing none, we will move to our second portion of citizen comment. We have one request to speak, and that is Leif Johnson.
I thank the mayor and city council. You know, there's sort of an elephant in this room. I don't know where he is, but I suppose if you look around, you might find him. having read remarks by the advocates of the freeholder plan, I believe it is no different from Rex Singfield's plan. For example, Howard Sanger, the former mayor of Clayton, said, now that Singfield is failing, quote, it is incumbent upon the leaders of our region to have a plan B, an appropriate alternative to better together, would be to adopt the best elements of their proposal. How about that? Best elements of the better together that pushes to a better place to live and do business and build from there. Another former mayor of Clayton and former executive director of the St. Louis County Municipal League, the group pushing the freeholders plan, say in a letter to the Post-Dispatch 517, one, they wish to reform local governments. Governance means political control, as in the sentence from Webster's International Dictionary, the governance of the colonies ceased when the colonies achieved self-government. They say, they advocate changing the economic and social trajectory of the region. Why? That's exactly what Singfield promises. They say, not, quote, not to be overlooked, however, Better Together deserves great credit for placing the issue of regional governance reform on the public agenda. Yes, indeed. Governance. Four. They continue, quote, the demise of a Better Together proposal does not mean that the problems it claimed to address are going away, and those problems will continue to worsen over time. The problems? Unemployment and underemployment, especially for minorities. Drug saturation in both city and county with accompanying crime, inadequate health care for the poor and exorbitant drug prices, unfunded education systems, especially for minorities, a cultural collapse sponsored by movies, television, and horrendous video games glorifying violence, sadism, and brutality. Those are the real problems. Did you think governance would solve these problems? Did you think that abolishing local government would solve these problems? Did you think that a financial dictatorship would solve these problems? Did you think that building a soccer stadium, a convention center, a marina, two or three sports complexes, downtown hotels, privatizing the airport, and other revitalizations would cure these problems? Do you think uniform building codes would solve these problems? The Anglo-American financial elite who created the bubble know that that bubble requires nourishment. As it grows, it requires ever-increasing amounts of new debt to satisfy its needs. We learned from 2008 that no income, no assets, mortgages cannot adequately feed a bubble. Far better food is government debt because it is backed by taxation of the people. People can default on mortgages, but they must pay taxes. City, county governance provides a 1.3 million person tax base to float billions in new bonded debt. The hungry market awakes. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, would you give us your name and address, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Leif Johnson. I live at 836 Barclay Square in University City.
Thank you. My apologies.
Thank you for that catch, Loretta. I apologize for that.
We now move to the council comments portion of the agenda. Do any of my colleagues have comments for the evening? Mr. Smotherson.
Just briefly, I wanted to first of all thank Rosalind Williams for her statement earlier, and then I also wanted to just state to the seniors that I do appreciate you all coming out tonight, and I thought it was very important that your numbers show how concerned you are, and the statement that was made tonight actually indicates to the city and to everybody involved that you want to keep that program at the community center Monday through Thursday. So I think that was made plain and clear, and again, I appreciate you all coming out tonight and supporting that. But also, one of the things that I also wanted to say is that aging ahead needs to be made accountable. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that aging ahead and the staff that takes care of you wrong this city and wrong you, and they need to be reported. Thank you.
Any other comments from my colleagues? Hearing none, briefly, I will say to everyone, thank you very much for making the Memorial Day run. I think it was the 45th or 49th annual Memorial Day run for the library. Great crowd yesterday. And also to all of you in the room, I know everyone has a parent, grandparent, son, daughter who served in the military, and I would like to take this moment, I'm sure, on behalf of all of my colleagues to thank all of you for your service, for your sacrifice during this Memorial Day weekend, and for that of your family. I would now entertain a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, hiring and firing, and individually identifiable personal records. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. We have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming this evening. To my colleagues, can we be downstairs in about 5 minutes, please?